Today, church, we have so much to celebrate. I mean, we have a lot of things to celebrate. Yesterday, if you were with us, we had a celebration of life service for our brother John Foster. It was amazing. Everyone I've spoken to since then have commented on what an amazing celebration of life service that was. The Holy Spirit was with us in a memorial service, right? Everybody came in feeling sad. We left like we felt like we were in the presence of the Lord. Amen, those of you who were there? Amen. It was powerful. And so we thank God for that celebration of life service, a life well lived. That's one thing, that's for sure. Today, I get to celebrate 3 years with you. Yeah. And I have to tell you my heart, and I think you know it, that Rochelle and I, we are so honored to be here. We're grateful for the opportunities that God has to give us. We are so grateful to be here that we don't want to be anywhere else. We don't. And I'll tell you, and I think I've mentioned this before, about 3 weeks ago, the general superintendent of the Church of the Nazarene called me on my phone. And he asked me, Gordon, would you be interested in allowing your name to run for the district superintendent role in Hawaii Pacific District? And I gracefully and graciously said, thank you, but no thank you. Because I know exactly where God would have me to be. No, don't do that. It's for the glory of God. And you know, I know my lane too. And so I just want you to know our heart. We are so grateful to be here, and we celebrate that today. And we also, I want to celebrate one more thing. Today I want to celebrate that my mom and my kaima, my godmother, are here in the service, and their friend Jennifer. Wanna welcome you. My mom accepted the Lord at 84 years old, a year and a half ago. And my kema, sorry, I'm getting choked up. My kema was so instrumental in sharing Christ with her. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that later on in the message. But for now, what I want to do is I want to teach you a greeting so that after the service, you can greet them. Okay? So, kema is godmother. She's like my godmother. And my mom, this is going to sound funny, but this is good. When you greet her today, just call her Gordon's mom. Okay? That's how everyone in Chinatown greets her, Gordon, mom. And then they wave at her, stop. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. It's true. True story. So say, Gordon, mom. Okay. Now, when you greet my mom and my kema today, I'll teach you two greetings today. Okay. The first one's kind of long, and the second one's a little short, so I think I know which greeting you're going to do. The first greeting is when you see my mom, you say, Gordon Ma, and then here's the greeting. Lego Jay Ho Guaya, Tung Mai Le, Ko He Ji Ho Ga Muk Si. So you can say that one. That means Gordon's mom, Mrs. Wong, your son is so good and he's the best pastor. You can say that greeting if you want. I'll teach it to you again. Or the second greeting I put up here on the screen, and it's Ne Ho Ma. Everybody repeat Ne Ho Ma. That's how are you, right? Really simple. Ne Ho Ma. So you say, Gordon's mom, Ne Ho Ma. Or Kema, Nehoma. And would you all just take a moment to stand? You gotta say the name of the people you're talking to, right? So I'll look at John, I'll say, John, Nehoma. And then the response to that is good. So you say ho. Everybody say ho. And if you're really good, you say it twice. Ho ho. Alright? Greet one another for just a moment. Well, I hope you feel warmly greeted here. And by the way, this is the language is Cantonese, which is what we spoke in Hawaii when I grew up. My first language, actually. Actually, my second. But so grateful for my mom and Kema to be here and Jennifer. So today we're going to complete our series on the Lord's prayers. And I don't know about you, but for me, I have so enjoyed not only preaching this sermon series, but sharing with you the very things that Jesus taught about prayer and Jesus' own prayer. And we're going to finish today's sermon series with another teaching from Jesus. And then I'm going to share with you some amazing stories of simple obedience, answered prayer, and changed lives. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And yesterday I preached out of the Hawaiian Pigeon Bible. I'm not going to do that today. Sorry. I know some of you was like, I hope he does it again. But this is out of the New International Version. Hear the word of the Lord in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." This is the word of the Lord for us today. This passage of Scripture summarizes the whole of chapter 9. When it says Jesus went through the towns teaching and preaching, healing. That's what we read all throughout Matthew chapter 9. In this chapter, you find Jesus, he was busy at work, doing the very things that this passage tells us he was doing. He was forgiving people and healing them while he was doing it. He was preaching to others. He was calling people into the ministry. And then even in this chapter, there's a part of the story where Jesus raises a life from the grave. If you look at all of Matthew chapter 9, beginning from the start, Jesus heals a paralytic. He forgives him, and then he heals the paralytic. And then he comes across two blind men, and he heals them. He heals a demon-possessed man and a woman who was subjected to bleeding for 12 years. He heals her as well. And then he calls Matthew into his service. And on top of that, he meets the synagogue leader's daughter who had been dead for a couple of days, and he raises her back to life. Amazing, amazing the things that Jesus is doing here in Matthew chapter 9. And I kind of get the picture that Jesus is winning the hearts of the people. He's doing these things because he's the Son of God. And he has compassion on these people who are hurting and suffering. And he's helping to meet some of their needs so that Jesus can come and bring the good news to share with their hearts and in their lives. To transform them by winning their hearts. And we get this beautiful picture of Jesus' heart when you look at verse 36 here. In verse 36, it says this, when Jesus looked at the crowds, he had compassion on them. And that's an important word for us to know and to understand. The compassion that Jesus has doesn't mean that Jesus felt pity for them. It wasn't just that he was empathetic. Those are words that are similar to compassion, but it's not compassion at all. The difference of compassion is that compassion enters into the life of the other person. Compassion isn't just feeling sorry for someone. Compassion is building a relationship with that person and journeying with them through the difficulties and the challenges that they go through. The word compassion means to suffer with. Or it may be even better, this defined as to suffer together. That's the definition of compassion. And that is what Jesus does here in Matthew chapter 9. As he sees the crowd being harassed, his heart is with them. He suffers together with them. And that's the heart of Jesus for the people that he is with. He has compassion for them. And now, listen to the response of what compassion leads us to. As we read again through Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has compassion on the people that he sees. And then it says this, "Then he says to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.'" That is the response of compassion from Jesus to his disciples. You see, Jesus was compassionate in that he helped meet the needs of his disciples, of the people that he were with. He meets their physical needs. He heals the blind. He heals the woman. He brings a young girl back to life. And while he cares for the physical needs of people, the thing that is more important to Jesus, and this is clear because this is what he teaches his disciples to do, is to care for the people's souls and their spirits and their eternity. What Jesus wants to do more than anything beyond the healing of a body is the turning of a heart back to God. That, for Jesus, is compassion. And this is what sets Christ followers apart. When we understand that the greatest act of compassion that we can have with the people that we know and love is to share the love of Jesus with them, to turn their hearts back to God. That is an act of compassion. For Jesus, turning people's hearts back to God is the reason that he came to earth. He tells us this in Luke chapter 19:10, when Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's why I came. To care for people's hearts and for their souls, to turn hearts back to Jesus. And the instruction that he gives to his disciples isn't give sight to the blind, because that's compassion. They couldn't do it anyway. Or heal the bodies of people that can't walk. Jesus didn't tell us to try your best to raise someone back from the grave. All those things only he can do. What he calls us to do is ask the Lord of the harvest and to pray. That's what he calls us to do. Have compassion for people's for the people that you know and you love, and pray for them. Pray for them to turn their hearts back to Jesus. And compassion goes beyond the feelings that we have. And what it does is it calls us to enter into a relationship with those. It calls us to action. And that action, what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 9, that action is for you to intercede and pray for the lost. Because if you believe like I believe, prayer, it's the most powerful agent of change in this world. I mean, have you prayed for things and seen God answer them? Miraculous things? If you haven't, then maybe you're not praying enough. That's what I sincerely believe. Because if you are sincerely praying and you are seeking God and praying that His will be done, I promise you, you will see God work in amazing ways. The most powerful agent of change in this world is prayer. And if you love and care for someone, And your desire is for their heart to turn and to change, then my encouragement to you is start praying. Or, if you have been praying, continue and don't give up, because God is not done yet. And if you've been a Christ follower for a while, then you know, as well as I do, that having Jesus in your life makes all the difference in the world. Amen? For you? Because it does for me. I'm just speaking maybe for myself today, but I believe that I share your sentiment, or you share my sentiment and my heart, that Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Because if you've been walking with Jesus, then you have experienced the goodness of God that we often sing about. You experience the nearness of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit convicting us to draw close to Him. You experience the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness and the self-control, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit that God pours out on those people who seek Him with all of His heart. And if you've received all of those good things, then the best thing that you can do is to share them with those that you love and you care for. And that's what God calls us to do. We share Jesus with those we love because we know that with Jesus, life is better. Amen. And Jesus came to give people a full life. If you haven't experienced that full life, maybe, I'm just saying maybe, it's because you're just dipping your toe in the water and testing it out. And God calls us to step on in and experience the fullness of all that God has for us. And when you do, man, you will be refreshed in your spirit. You'll receive every good thing that God desires for you when you dive all in and not just dip your toe in the pool. And Jesus said this in John 10:10. I shared this verse yesterday at John Foster's memorial service. And I shared it from the Hawaiian Pigeon Bible. I'll share it from both. In John 10:10 it says, I, Jesus, that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the desire that Jesus has for every single person that seeks Him with all his heart, to have a full life. And I don't have it up here on the screen, but in the Hawaiian Pigeon Bible, I love the translation of that, where it says, Jesus will come so that people can come alive inside and live to the max. How many of you want to live to the max? That's what God wants for you and for every person that you love and care for that has not come to the place to know Jesus with all their hearts. That you can pray and turn their hearts through your love and compassion. That their hearts would be in tune with Jesus. Church, that's compassion right there. And the key of what Jesus calls you and I to do is to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest. That's prayer. And when it comes to turning your hearts back to Jesus, that's exactly what He taught. Ask the Lord of the harvest to therefore send out workers into the harvest field. So church, can I make a plea to you to take this instruction from the Word of God seriously? In your life, as I have tried to do it in my life, to begin praying for people and continue praying, to pray for God's best for the people that you love and you care for. And that is the reason we make these prayer cards, for you to do just that. Every single worship folder has one of these in it. This morning, you know what I did? I printed more so we could stuff them in. And as I was stuffing these into the worship folders, you know what I did? I prayed over each one. So if you have one of these, my prayer is on your card right now. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you haven't already, is to start thinking about those you love and care for, writing their names down, and interceding in prayer for them. And what I want to do is share with you three stories of how this came to be in my life. The first story is when, in 1998, some of you weren't even born yet. Barry was born, I know that. In 1998, I graduated from seminary. And Rochelle and I moved from Kansas City to Hawaii. We got there on about, June 8th, I think. And on November 11th, we planted the Bridge Church, my first church that I planted and started. And not long after I arrived in Hawaii, not long after we got there, a missionary came to speak on our district. And I went to go hear him. His name is Dr. Christian Sarmiento. Dr. Sarmiento has just been elected as the general superintendent of our church. And he was the guy that called me and asked if I would want to allow my name to run to be district superintendent of Hawaii. And I graciously said, no, thank you. But Dr. Sarmiento told an amazing story. This is the first story. I went to hear him speak. And Dr. Sarmiento said, there was a young man from Bogota, Colombia, who was called by God. And when he got called by God, he was so on fire that he left everything that he was doing and he went to seminary to get prepared so that he could plant a brand new church back home. And so he left, he went away, prepared his heart and his life. He learned everything he needed to from seminary. And then he went back to Bogota, Colombia to plant a brand new church. And you know how he planted the brand new church? He called together 10 of his best friends that he grew up playing soccer with. And he got one of these cards, just like this. And he said, would you help me plant this church? And 10 friends said, yes, we'll help you. And he said, this is how we're going to do it. Let's take these cards, put 10 names of people that you know and love, pray for them every day for 40 days, and then invite them to come to our opening service. So these 10 friends did just that. They put down the names of their family and friends. They prayed for them, interceded daily, taking these names, lifting them up to the throne room of heaven. And then, as the time came close for the launch of the brand new church, they invited their friends to come. When the church started on that first Sunday, well, there were 100 names being prayed for by these 10 friends. And because they knew who the people were, they were able to track these people. Believe it or not, 60 of the 100 names on the cards came to the very first service. And 40 of them prayed a prayer and a confession to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 40 of them turned their hearts because 10 guys had compassion for their family and friends and turned their hearts. So these 40 people finally found a place in a relationship with God in heaven. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? And when Dr. Sarmiento came to Hawaii, he told this story and said, this church is now 10 years old. That's how the pastor began. And the church was running 10,000 people. And I was like, wow. And I said, Lord, that's my story. Here I am, a kid from Kalihi. Kalihi is the urban center of Honolulu. You know Anthony, right? Kalihi, tough place. And God called this kid from Kalihi with parents that were Buddhists. Finding myself here at Point Loma and then off to seminary. What is a guy like me, not growing up with any faith that most of you grew up with, what is a guy like me, why am I in seminary doing that? Because the call of God. And God brings me back to Hawaii, and I hear this story. I said, that's the same story as the pastor in Bogota. So you know what I did? I made two cards, and I handed one to Rochelle, and I had one because we were the only two people of the Bridge Church at the time. She filled out her card and I filled out mine. Now, you got to go talk to my wife later because she has a different story to tell about Betty Lou. But I'm going to tell you about my card. So that was the first story. Here's story number two. On my card, I wrote down names of people. But I was a business major in college, and I just didn't write down 10 names. I wrote down the names of 10 couples because I know about compounding interest. And if I pray for 10 names, I'll get 10 people. But if I pray for 10 couples, well, hey, they might even have children. And since this was early on, I just wrote the names of the guys that I grew up playing basketball with. Ronald and Tracy Kiamzon, Wilson and his wife, Calvin and his wife, Mendel and Leslie. And on my card was another couple that, Danny and Melissa. I had all these names on my first card. And I prayed for them daily. And half of the card, I didn't even know where they were. Because I'd just gotten back to Hawaii. But as Rochelle and I began to pray, I got on the phone and I started calling up the guys whose names and numbers I did have. Some of them were changed. Some of them I didn't know. Finally, I got a hold of one of the guys that I grew up playing basketball with. And I told him about starting a new church and how I'd love for him to come. And I got the, we'll see what we can do. And I said, by the way, I'm going to call some of our other friends. Do you have Mendel Wong's number? No relation to me, by the way. And he goes, yeah, I do. And so I got Mendel and Leslie's number. So that was the next number that I called. And so I called Mendel and Leslie, who were on my first prayer card as we were beginning to start this church. And Mendel picks up the phone, and I'm going to just jump into a little pigeon because that's how we spoke. And so I said, hello, may I speak to Mendel? And he goes, this Mendel? I said, Mendel, this is Gordon Wong. Remember me? He goes, Gordon? Oh, my gosh. He said, you still live in the mainland? I said, no, I moved back to Hawaii already. And Mendel, I became a pastor. And he said, what? And I said, Mendel, I'm going to start a brand new church. And I would love for you and Leslie to come. And Mendel said, wow, yeah. When are you going to start? And I got all the information. And we didn't have texting. He didn't have email. So I had to send everything through snail mail. Josh, that's when you have an envelope and you write. You put information, you put a stamp, and you put in the mail. And Mendel got it, and Mendel and Leslie came to the first launch of the service of the Bridge Church. I have a picture, actually, of that first service. Would you mind putting that first picture up? So, you see the lady with the hat and the brown, the circle above it? That's Mendel and Leslie. That's the first church, the first service of the Bridge Church. And you see the date right there, November 29, 1998? That's when we launched our church. If you ever call me on my cell phone, my number is 808 because that's Hawaii. I shouldn't say it because it's going to be on the internet. But that's the last four digits of my cell phone number because I put it for the date we started the church. Mendel became the worship leader at the Bridge Church. And I told this story to the Bridge Church about how I prayed for Mendel. And when I told Mendel that story, I had taken the card where Mendel and Leslie's name was on it, and I put it in a frame, and I presented it to him. I said, brah, we called each other brah. Brah, I'm going to pray for you for 40 days, and this is your card. Then I got a fresh card, and I said, brah, you start praying for people too. And that's how it works. And Mendel started praying for his brother Gary and his wife Tanya. And Gary and Tanya came to our church. And Mendel and Leslie started praying for his sister Lena. And Lena came, but Lena had breast cancer. And she struggled through that. And about 2 years into being a part of the Bridge Church, Lena went to heaven. But I thank God that Mendel had on his prayer card praying for Lena and Gary and his other brother, Daryl. And I think Daryl's in heaven today too. And that's what happens when you pray. People get saved and they meet Jesus and their eternity is forever transformed. But when I told this story to the Bridge Church about Mendel, Mendel told me the story from his end, which I didn't know. And this is what he said. "Brah, Gordon, you're not going to believe this. But that night you in call, right before the phone would ring, I was telling Leslie, 'Hey, Les, we should start going back to church, you know.' And Les said, 'Yeah, for sure.' Then the phone would ring. And when I went to pick up the phone, you was on the other end." That's his testimony to me. He said, "Gordon, it's not a coincidence that you and call. It's the 40 days of prayer that you invested that started changing my heart." And I'm like, wow. To this day, Mendel is still a part of the Bridge Church. On my recent visit back home to Hawaii, he was sitting there. Forever changed. You remember when the Hawaii group came this past summer on their way to Nazarene Youth Conference? Two of Mendel's kids was in that group. Generations of people, lives are being changed. And you see the other circle right there? That's Danny and Melissa Mangale. Danny, I knew when he was in middle school. He and I went to NYC in 1987. How many of you 1987 NYCers in here? Thank you. No, not you. You're too young. and then Les, his wife, Melissa, we met her at Point Loma and they started dating and they got married and they moved back to Hawaii because that's where Danny's from. And they served the church there. They were on the worship team. They helped build the kingdom of God at the Bridge Church in Hawaii. And then they moved to Rancho Penasquitos out here in San Diego. And I'm praying for them that one day they will join us here. That's story number two. And story number three is sitting right here. For 40 years after I became a believer in Jesus, some of the people I loved the most was my mom and dad. And I began fervently praying for them every single day. And this was before I even understood what prayer cards were all about. And I prayed for my mom for 40 years before she came to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And I didn't even get the chance to tell her about Jesus. My kaima did. And the beautiful people at my kaima's church that went over to my mom's house and loved my mom with compassion. To not just care for her body, but to care for her soul and her spirit. And on November 8th, 2022, while driving home from dropping off some food at Eddie and Wanda Gonzalez's house. Eddie was playing the drums today. I don't know where he's at right now. My phone is ringing and it starts blowing up and I'm like, ah, oh, and I look, it's my K-Ma. I'm like, oh boy, something happened. And then when I get home, I open the phone and K-Ma says to me, "Gordon, come yet le, ngodi hoi le, ma, okay. Come at koi sun Yesua and and I started crying because she said, "Today, we went to your mom's house and we prayed with her and she accepted Jesus in her heart and we baptized her." And then she sent me all these videos of that took place on that day. And I have a video of my mom sharing just a brief testimony. They said, she said, they said, "Look into the camera. Tell your son, who do you believe?" And my mom said, "Ngosun Yesu ajai." That means, I believe in Jesus, son. Words that I don't know if I'd ever believed I'd hear after praying for 40 years and not seeing fruit from that. But I thank God he's heard every prayer. Not a breath was wasted. And then she said, Yesu heng o samdawa. Jesus is in my heart. Church, I just want you to know, this is just paper. But what you do with this matters. And we got Palm Sunday and Easter rolling around. And sometimes it might just be 4 days of prayer and God answers it. Sometimes it might be 4 years or 40 years. But I promise you that not a breath is wasted. When you pray with compassion to turn people's hearts back to Jesus. Because Jesus did tell us, and that what he told us was true when he said it, and it's true today. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to pray for workers. I am praying for you. For you, the workers in the harvest field. For you to start praying for those that you know and those that you love. Because when you pray, lives change. Mine's changed. My mom's changed. Mendel and Leslie's life has changed. And you are here because somebody prayed for you. I sincerely believe that. And you know what is the benefit of us doing this together? Is that one day, after we've been praying, you will have stories to share like I just did. I got to tell you, it is one of the greatest things to share a testimony of God answering your prayers for people that you love. And one day, you might say, Pastor Gordon, can I share a testimony of how God answered my prayer using a prayer card? And you know what? I will always say, absolutely. Please, share the microphone. And I want to hear your stories telling the church. I've been faithfully praying for my son, for my daughter, for my grandchild, for my neighbor, for my coworker, for my spouse, that their hearts would turn towards Jesus. And it did. And all heaven will rejoice. And the whole church will rejoice. Because lives are being changed. Amen. So I asked my K-Ma, I said, you want to say something? Because she speaks a little bit of English. She goes, eh. She said, well, this is what I want to say if I were to come up. Tell the church to don't give up and pray daily to Jesus and he will hear our prayers. That's what she wanted me to tell you. So if you haven't used the prayer card yet, use the one that I prayed for today, prayed over today. Pray for the people that you know and love. Pray with compassion, turning people's hearts to Jesus. And share with me the joy of testifying of what God does through prayer. Amen? Will you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Oh, Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And moving on our behalf. And loving us so much, Lord God, that you would give your one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins and for the sins of those that we know and love that don't know you yet. And because we have been forgiven and we have been redeemed, Lord God, we know the joy of what it is to follow you. And we know that you make all the difference in the world, in our lives. Help us, Lord God, not to just dabble anymore, but to dive in, to be refreshed fully, and to know the life that is fully committed to you. And then, Lord God, I pray that as a part of that life, you turn our hearts to pray for those that we love with deep compassion, as Jesus prayed with compassion, so that those that we know and love would know you and be saved. Oh, there's no greater testimony to be shared. So help us to be faithful. And thank you again for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And all of God's people said,
amen.